OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town.
I don't even want to say it. Caller, step up. Are you kidding me today?
Okay, but...
but it is the only one. And in fact,
I was going to say, don't we, doesn't
the O
change
stands
the fact
for Ohio
that
and for only.
They made that was a good one, Nathan. They've made unconditional fans out of all of their customers, some of whom clearly upsetting my partner here. Only OBM has all the X's and the O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216, you got to see Nathan's face, 485-2000, or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, we got to cheer him up before the show is over, and we welcome in right now from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Scott Petrek on this newsy kind of day, Scott, and let's start with this. No surprise. You went down this road saying it was going to be Hoyer, or did it shock you?
No, I thought it was going to be Brian Hoyer. The only thing I thought this morning is there's a possibility they could move it back another week just to see if somebody impressed them Saturday night. But I understand why they didn't, and I think Mike Pettine figured that Johnny Manziel's not ready. One more week's not going to get him ready. I trust Brian Hoyer in week one, and to me that makes a lot of sense.
Scott, it's great to have a nice intellectual discussion with a person of your stature here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Johnny Manziel obviously had an opportunity, I think, to steal the job, but he has a tough transition. It's been Johnny against the playbook. That obviously is still there. People are saying, though, now the next foregone conclusion and leap of logic is that Brian Hoyer is going to start until the bye week. Don't you get the sense that Brian Hoyer is going to start until there's a reason to make a change?
Yes, I do. But it's just logical to look at the bye week.
Sure.
I mean, if they're 0-3 and Brian Hoyer has played poorly for three games, then that would seem like a logical time to make the move. You get 2 weeks of practice with the ones, and that's logical. Now, if Brian Hoyer plays like he did last year, I know it was a limited, you know, sample size, but if he played like he did last year, we're not going to see Johnny Manziel for probably a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there were a fair amount of people follow this league very closely, follow college quarterbacks very closely, who said to me, and I think said to others, that they would have preferred Manziel to even stay in school just one more year. He comes in as an extremely young rookie at 21. That's why there should be no surprise whatsoever that the struggles that we hear a lot about and can witness ourselves in terms of grasp of offense and grasp of vision, what he's supposed to see, making the reads. He is a one read and out guy, basically. That's the game. It's either one read or run, or one read and then force something else because he has to move to find the other thing. And that's not generally considered a formula for success in the NFL. It may eventually be something he can master when he sees other things.
No, that's exactly right. And I think we tend to forget about that. We talk about it right at the draft. You know, this guy can't make this transition. But then you just keep flashing back to him making plays in college. And number one, I'm not sure that translates to this league. And it certainly doesn't translate in your first 42 snaps in the league, or however many snaps Johnny's played so far. And I also think you have to take into consideration, and I wasn't a pro Johnny guy at draft time, he doesn't have, in my mind, elite physical talent. So therefore, he's not going to overcome not knowing the playbook or still adjusting to the playbook, let's say, and learning to get to that second read. He's not going to make up for that with a huge arm. He's got a good arm, but it's not huge. He's not tall. He doesn't run faster than RG3. So those comparisons, I think, are flawed. And I think Johnny's a little bit of a flawed quarterback because he's not even 6 feet tall. So there's going to be a lot of room for him to make up, and it's just too early to ask him to have made that ground up.
One thing people also forget is people are continuing to spew ignorance on Twitter right now is that when they said, well, Cam Newton came in RG3. These are totally different scenarios. Cam Newton went into Carolina where he was clearly the guy. RG3 went to Washington where he's clearly the guy.
Yes, right.
And offenses were built and dumbed down for them.
Exactly.
For them. Yep. And yes, you can say it's Kyle Shanahan, the same guy. That's not been the case because Brian Hoyer came in ahead. So this offense they've always wanted to start the veteran. This isn't a case where he came in and he was the number one pick and they're saying immediately we're going to create a Johnny Manziel offense. They haven't done that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm happy they chose a starter so they can focus more on the Brian Hoyer variation of the Kyle Shanahan offense. That hasn't happened here, and that's why it's taking a longer time to develop, and Brian Hoyer is more equipped to do it. It's not like he hasn't played. Granted, the way that he's been in the preseason to respond to this competition, the door was open for somebody to jump through it. Johnny did not do that, but to say that that means that he's terrible is, to me, ridiculous.
Well, no, that's true, too, and there's a huge difference in the NFL from being a one or two pick in the draft, and RG3 would have been number one every other year but behind Andrew Luck, and being the 22nd pick. I mean, we've seen Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon come through here. There's not as much allegiance to those guys. You don't change your franchise to get that guy on the field right away, and I think that's what we've seen, especially if you have a guy like Brian Hoyer.
Now, the argument can also be made, though, that and you're right, Andrew Luck, RG3, Cam Newton, that list of players for whom an offense was built ready for them when they stepped in the door, an argument can be made, as unique as these Johnny Manziel skills are, and that he is the guy that you see most comfortably running that pistol, read option kind of offense. If you had a notion you were going to go with him, and I think somewhere in the back of Kyle Shanahan's mind was having that. I know at times they worked on it, but not extensively because you didn't have another quarterback who used that. I just wonder if it created if the best plan in hindsight might have been to just go down the road fully with the offense that you know is going to best suit the veteran, because you're any other time that you're spending with this read option to get the other guy, quote, ready is taking away and maybe hurting your overall development as an offense.
Yeah, I think in hindsight that's exactly correct. And I even think, and I'm working on a story about it right now, I think the Browns would have been better off if Pettine had named Brian Hoyer their starter day one of training camp. Just because you can go down that road, I think it empowers the quarterback. And if Johnny had blown the doors off everyone, then you reconsider. That's what they did. Pete Carroll did in Seattle with Russell Wilson. He wasn't in that mix to be that starter. They had two other guys that they brought in to be the starter, and he outplayed them. But there was not daily quarterback competition updates. And I think as much as maybe the players should be able to overcome that distraction and thrive under the pressure, it is a distraction. And I think you get overwhelmed with competition, especially at that position. And if it had been Brian Hoyer, which Mike Pettine has been leaning the whole time, if he had just come out and said it, then I think you kind of empower him and you move forward in preparation for Pittsburgh, as opposed to, I think now they've delayed it 3 weeks. Not that you can't recover from that, and I understand why he did it, but we've seen a ton of quarterback competitions here, and a lot of the reason is because the guys in the competition have been bad, going back to 2002. But we've never seen one where the end result is a quarterback is ready to go week one and runs away with the job.
And don't forget, this, as you said, it kind of was the plan all along in many respects, in the sense that more than 75% of the first team reps have gone to Hoyer. So it wasn't like this was a 50-50 split in any way, shape, or form where Johnny was getting all those reps. So that isn't what happened here. The big question I have is, who the heck are they going to throw the ball to? You know, if Brian Hoyer, who is he throwing the ball to week one, assuming Josh Gordon's not here? Because the wide receivers, you know, really have not stepped up and given you a lot of confidence in this passing game for either quarterback.
No, you know, I think you know what you have in Miles Austin, assuming he stays healthy. I think you know what you have in Andrew Hawkins. You don't, and I don't think Miles Austin is a number one, but at least you know what you have in him. He has a track record. I don't know who the number two is going to be. You know, I think they'd like it to be Nate Burleson, but he can't get off the bike. He's getting older. You know, I expect him to bring in one or two guys after the cutdowns. Now, I don't know how early those guys can play, and can you expect one to come in and start? But there's a huge hole at number two if it's not Burleson, and I don't know if you can expect Travis Benjamin to fill that spot. Charles Johnson has shown up a little bit, but still coming off the ACL. To me, those are huge question marks, and you're going to need to get a lot of production from Jordan Cameron, which we haven't seen yet. He's only played the one preseason game. And you're going to have to be – Kyle Shanahan's going to have to be creative. Run the ball, throw on running downs, run on passing downs, do stuff to confuse the defense with a lot of different formations and personnel packages.
Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Browns beat writer, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So Dante Whitner – said recently to Peter King that there was sort of like this 50-50 mentality in the locker room regarding the quarterbacks. And Peter King clarified on this show, and I think Whitner clarified that, again, this wasn't about a division necessarily within the team or any acrimony toward one guy or the other, just the way the locker room was set, is that some guys just felt one guy was the better choice and the other guy is the other choice. But I don't know. It was supposedly harmony in all this, and you know, we'll see. But what does it mean now that the decision has been made? Do you sense, and in light of what we saw Monday night, Scott, do you sense that this group or enough core leaders of this group are behind Hoyer?
I do. I know that guys like Joe Thomas and Alex Mack are for sure. I think Jordan Cameron is. And those are the three biggest names on offense. I don't think it was an easy sell. And Mike Pettine said it wouldn't have to be a sell at all. But I don't think it was an easy sell for Mike Pettine to stand at the team meeting today and say Brian Hoyer's won the quarterback job coming off the two preseason games. I just think it would have been much easier.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's much easier if he has a great game. So I understand why he did it. I just don't know if he was greeted with, you know, eyes rolling or kind of sighs. But I think that the guys who have been here, the Joe Haydens, know what Brian Hoyer did last year, and they know how he energized that locker room. And we forget, I mean, it's been a long time now, but there was a different vibe in that locker room after Brian Hoyer came in and started those two games before he got hurt and won those games, and Joe Hayden was in his corner. So I think the young guys that might be Johnny Manziel guys, quote-unquote, will find a way to get behind Brian Hoyer in a hurry as long as he looks like he can play the game, and there's no reason to think he can't. He just has to figure out the accuracy issue, and that's the only thing that bothered me about the preseason. He knows where to go with the ball. He just hasn't delivered it yet.
And I think that had to do something. You know, one of the reasons that I was concerned about this was the way that he reacted to the pressure of this competition, and it clearly got him. He short-armed some throws, was inaccurate with throws that he typically is not inaccurate with, and hopefully this will calm him down. Now, the pressure, I would imagine, because Mike Pettine has not come out and said he's the starting quarterback for the season, sure, which you can't say. He's still going to realize that every game he's going to be looking over his shoulder somewhat to Johnny. Is Johnny, you know, I think Johnny Manziel, who has had success constantly and has been able to do whatever he wants, is as competitive as he is. This is, I think, a good thing for him to not be just handed the keys. I think he's going to have to evaluate what is it going to take for me to be great at this level, yeah, and it's maybe going to help him realize that maybe he didn't spend his first offseason as dedicated as a professional should be when trying to make this jump.
I completely agree with that. And going back to Hoyer, he was on a week-to-week basis last year. There's, you know, he had no track record. You know, there's Jason Campbell there. Brandon Whedon was coming back. We didn't know how long he'd be out with that thumb injury. So he was on a week-to-week basis and played well in the critical times in the games. He had fourth-quarter drives to win games in Minnesota, which was loud, and at home against a good Bengals team. So the idea that he can't play well in pressure is not correct. I understand that he hasn't played well in the first two preseason games, but I think he's shown enough in those two fourth-quarter drives for me to believe that come week one, he will be comfortable in the huddle.
And what did you also think about – I thought these were interesting when Mike Pettine talked about coming back from that knee injury and how overcoming that was something a lot of us maybe pushed aside or didn't focus on enough, that it was a big deal. Torn ACL that Hoyer suffered last year, last October 3rd, and he had to overcome that. I think we brushed it off a little bit, or it seemed like most people did.
Well, first of all, I think that might be a reason for – some of the inaccurate throws. I don't know how long it takes to adjust completely to that. Maybe he can't push off the way he wants. Maybe it's just a matter of getting the footwork down. But you're right. And, you know, when we talked, you know, around the draft, I would have been in that group that assumed that Johnny Manziel would be your week one starter because he's Johnny Manziel. Brian Hoyer only had the two starts on his resume. But the more he worked in that offseason to get back and be ready to play when the coaches got here, when you could report April 7th, when OTA started, he met all those goals. And he was in the building with guys like Mike Pettine and Kyle Shanahan. And the more you talk to those guys, the more you got the impression that Brian Hoyer won them over in that offseason. And it's an easy contrast to say when Johnny had the free time, we all know what Johnny did, and Brian was in here every day getting ready to be that guy in week one. And it means starting week one in Pittsburgh means so much to Brian Hoyer. I don't know if he can put it into words. I'm going to ask him later today. But nobody else in this town would rather be in Pittsburgh on week one, and it's good that he gets that chance.
It is good, and I truly think that had, you know, the offseason maybe gone differently, because I think all along they wanted Brian Hoyer to start week one. I think when the schedule came in, they said, oh, we open up at Pittsburgh, right, it'd probably be good to have a veteran start that game. But I think that if you wanted Johnny Manziel to start week one, you needed to create a Johnny Manziel offense catered completely to him. He needed to be with the first team from the very first practice of training camp, and everything needed to be done to get him ready for week one.
Or at least not on a part-time basis. I think they
not on
I think
a less than 25% of the time
basis. That's what I'm saying. I think they had that, but they didn't have it in a way that you're describing, all in on one guy.
Right. They were not all in on him. And it would have been difficult, I think, for him, given the compressed time frame and given the scenario that was laid out, to win. The opportunity was there, I think, due in large part to the way Hoyer performed relative to what we expected him to do. But it was not really set up for Johnny Manziel to start from week one.
No, it wasn't. But as a rookie coach, you cannot, I don't think, hand over the job to the number 22 pick who has questionable off the field, whatever you want to call it.
Right. You just don't reinforce that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how do you tell Joe Thomas we're going to hand this guy the keys? Right. And he showed us nothing to make him worthy of handing the keys to. So I don't think Mike Pettine had any other choice but to either set up a competition or hand the job to Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, you can't come off as a petulant child in your locker room or around your teammates who are grown men with families, accomplished in the league. Like you say, seven-time Pro Bowler Joe Thomas, multi-time Pro Bowler center Alex Mack. You got to comport yourself in a way that lets them trust you and not just say, well, he's just a kid. Being a kid, well, that's not a sign of respect. You know, it's not an allowance. You want to say grow up. And the criticism he continues to receive, and he just exacerbates that, the flipping the bird thing, and I don't think he felt any remorse for that at all, other than the cameras got me. You know, that was an answer, the typically immature answer of a 21-year-old. That's how I'd expect a 21-year-old guy to kind of answer that. Unfortunately, and I think at quarterback, you have to have an advanced level of maturity, even if it belies your age.
Well, I agree completely. Or you have to be great. I
mean, those are your two choices. Just flat great, and then you can get away with a lot more.
Yeah, right. Then you can be a jerk, and not that he's a jerk, but then you can do whatever you want because the players go, this guy's going to give us a chance to win.
His Texas A&M greatness is not here now.
That's exactly right.
It's a new chapter. All right, we've got a lot more coming up for you. Thank you so much, Scott, for being with us.
Guys.
He is Scott Petrak. Check out his great work at the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, breaking it down for us. We've got much more to go. It's a hashtag Mailbag Wednesday. So we want to hear from you via Twitter at Browns_daily or at Nathan Zagura or at my Twitter handle at Vic Carucci. You call us at 216-578-0850. Want those comments and questions? We know you got a lot of them. Stick around. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Force.